The 300th episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 19 and Franchise Hockey Manager 5. Right now, it is the Steam Autumn Sale. You can get Out of the Park Baseball 19 at 50% off, just $9.99. And Franchise Hockey Manager is 25% off. You can get that for $29.99. The Steam Autumn Sale going through November 27th. Getting that Out of the Park Baseball 19 also gets you access to Perfect Team. You're going to hear me along with Community Manager TJ Larriman and Associate Community Manager over at Out of the Park Developments talking all about Perfect Team later on tonight. We've been having a blast playing it, and we know you will too. Out of the Park Baseball 19 available at 50% off, just $9.99 right now. And Franchise Hockey Manager 5, just $29.99 and 25% off going on during the Steam Autumn Sale. Thank you again for being a part of this great ride, and enjoy the show. Well, hey, everybody. Thank you for listening to, yes, episode 300 of the Press Row Podcast. I'm your host this week, Rich Grisham. I'm very happy to be here. I'm very happy that you're here. Whether this is the first episode of the Press Row Podcast you've ever listened to, doubtful. Or whether this is, whether you've been here since number one, also kind of doubtful, considering that was way back in September 2012. Regardless, we're glad you're here. The Press Row Podcast, well, I don't know. We certainly can't say we're the only podcast devoted to sports video games, but we've certainly been around for a while, at least. That's a good tagline. Joining me for this milestone episode are three great friends of the show. We have, of course, the man himself, Mr. Brian Weedy, a.k.a. Pasta Padre. Brian, how are you, sir?
Yeah, you shoved me to the side.
I did.
For this episode. You stole the hosting chair back.
I did.
And I'm
okay
with
that. By the way, I feel good about that.
I'm okay with that. It's a throwback to the early days.
That's right.
Of the podcast. So I'm happy to defer to you just in this instance, because
right,
my ego
could
not handle it otherwise.
Understood. Yes, I did that completely unbeknownst to you until about 40 seconds before we started the show.
Yeah, it was quite a surprise. I mean, I put hours into my intro, Rich, and now I've just scrapped it. And I'm going to have to reconcile my emotions right now.
Okay. Well, you do sound pretty beat up. The good thing is, if you listen to the first episode, and I recommend that no one does, it is the most stilted, like formal conversation ever held in a podcast. And I'm embarrassed about it, but you know what? It's still out there.
Well, I mean, like, okay, so I wasn't on that, but back then, I mean, podcasts were a very different thing. Not just how ours has evolved, but podcasting in general, right? I mean, it's a much different thing than it used to be 5 or 10 years ago, especially.
Yes, and sometimes I feel like podcasts have already like sort of come and gone, so to speak, right? But then other times I realize that they're actually more popular than ever. It's just that people listen to them in so many different ways. It's just unbelievable how it used to be. Also, we have joining us another great friend of the show and my good friend, just like Brian, Mr. TJ Larriman, a.k.a. That Sports Gamer. TJ, how are you, sir?
Rich, I am doing so well because podcasts are so big that I am listening to a podcast while recording a podcast while playing a Madden solo.
Oh, I thought you were playing NBA 2K.
No, I had to delay that because someone wanted to record episode 300 of the Press Row Podcast.
That's right. Episode 300. TJ, I think the first time you appeared on the show, you led me through basically Let's Play Ultimate Team, right?
Yeah, those were good times.
Those were good times. And that was a weird segment because we're having an audio conversation while we're both looking at a television screen that nobody else in the world could see.
True.
And yet we somehow pulled that off. That's kind of weird.
And you know what? That was before streaming was a big thing. I think we kind of invented a genre there.
I agree. Well, it's good to have you on, TJ. Thank you very much. And also joining us this week, another good friend, someone who I have met in person. Actually, met all three of you guys in person, which is really cool. When we were at PAX East last year, someone I've known for a few years now, our good friend, Chris Jardine, a.k.a. Snaggle J. Chris, how are you, sir?
Well, I'm a little deflated now that you referred to the other two as great friends, and I got good friend.
Oh, that's bad.
I was all excited because, you know, I don't get called great friend a whole lot, but I'm doing really well. I'm excited to be here. You know, being one of the shorter, well, definitely the shortest tenured out of the four of us who are on the podcast right now in terms of this particular instance. I'm glad to be here. It's a great day. I know you guys have put many, many years of, you know, differences aside to come together for episode 300. And, you know, I'm happy to be here.
Really don't get along.
No, in my short tenure, I think my first episode was probably somewhere in the vicinity of like 230, 240.
Okay.
And in the 5 or 6 appearances I've made, I've really learned that you guys don't like each other on air.
Yeah.
And especially don't like each other during the unrecorded After Dark segments that occur after the main show has been completed. But I hope we can, you know, put our differences aside for about 90 minutes and talk about sports video games.
Well, the good thing is we're going to edit out that whole part because nobody wants the fourth wall broken like that. We want them to think that we're all just a big, happy family.
We're all really good actors, which I'm not sure what good that does on a medium such as a podcast, but we're quite good at pretending that we like each or tolerate each other, not even like each other.
And look, let's face it, right? Like, if it weren't for the incredible mountains of money that flow into this show, right? Mm. We wouldn't even put it up. But the show is so lucrative. Yeah. You know,
you should see not just my contract, but the all the demands that are within it. You know, you got to keep the talent happy.
Yeah, it's like Big Bang Theory, right? I mean, they all hate each other by this point. But who turns down that paycheck? It's exactly. Like, okay, yeah. I can tolerate you for 9 days a year and take away my millions of dollars. That's how I feel here. I see the residuals roll in and I'm like, you know what? I can tolerate these guys for 90 minutes.
You know, it's funny, Chris. I think the first time that I got to know you was through TJ when he, I think it was before you came on the show, you wrote some pieces on Hit the Pass about various Diamond Dynasty cards, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah. And then became, you know, really the second sort of ultimate team / Diamond Dynasty expert in the Press Row podcast multiverse, as it were.
Yeah, I think I became the guy that, you know, on recording day 10 minutes before when you realize that the lineup is really thin. And you've contacted literally everybody else. Somebody says, we could message Chris and see if he's around. He could fill a few spots of dead air. And I've appreciated that role and I've embraced that role. And I like I said, I'm very happy to be here for episode 300. I think it's already proven to be a very good episode and it's probably only going to go up from here.
Absolutely. You know, episode one was recorded in September of 2012. I hosted it. We had Steve Noah from Operation Sports on. We had Sumit Sarkar from Polygon on. And we had Owen Good from, at that point, Kotaku on. I asked all three to join us tonight, and none of them are talking to me anymore. So, you know, it's unfortunate.
I think that says a lot.
It does. It does say
about,
a lot.
About how well we cultivate our relationships and...
or destroy.
Yeah.
One or the other. No, I'm just partially kidding. At least one person did get back to me nicely and say they couldn't make it of the three, but you know, we carry on.
It is a holiday week. We'll say that.
It is. Of course, it's the week before Thanksgiving. You
know, in typical Rich Grisham fashion, he didn't really consider that, and he wants to pull people away from their families to record a podcast. And you wonder why, Rich.
There are a lot of people who want to be pulled away from their families on Thanksgiving. I'm providing a service, my friend, a service.
Yeah, and it's not the week of Thanksgiving. It is literally the day before Thanksgiving.
Right.
There's the best outside possibility it will be Thanksgiving before this podcast is over.
You know, back when I was a young buck, the Wednesday night before Thanksgiving was the party night of the year, right? You would typically go back to your hometown. You'd see all the people you hadn't seen for a few years. You know, congregate at some sort of establishment or another, and then the party and the after party and all that. You know, now I've got an 11-year-old kid and
And you've
seven
got, jobs? You've also got Facebook, so now you know that you don't want to talk to those people. That's
exactly right. So why not just show how old and boring I am than recording a podcast on this night instead? I think it's a good decision. I think we're all better for it. All right. Let's do what we do, which is talk about sports video games. Chris, we're going to start with you, sir. What are you playing these days?
In sports gaming terms, I'm playing mostly baseball games, if you could believe that, even though we are deep into the frigid winter up in my neck of the woods. I've actually been spending most of my time split between still grinding away at MLB The Show and spending a good portion of my time in Out of the Park 19, both in the conventional version and our Perfect Team beta, which is a lot of fun. If you haven't tried it, you should try it right now. I've been stuck mostly on baseball games. I sprinkle in the odd Madden franchise, keep that going here and there, but surprisingly, it's still baseball that has my attention, even though, again, we're into the end of November. I feel like those games are just so good, and being a baseball guy, I can't seem to pull myself away. I had dabbled in some other sports games. I think the last time we had talked, I was into NHL quite a bit, and they've kind of made some changes that ruined that experience for me. I've been just going back to what works, and that's a good sprinkling of some of the best baseball games that you can get today.
So there's been a lot going on in MLB The Show, which we're going to get to a little bit in depth right after this segment. So I want to save that conversation.
Yep.
I also want to talk a little bit more about Perfect Team, but I'll again want to put those longer discussions off for a few minutes. So before we get to those games, TJ, I know you're playing some games, sports games and otherwise, in addition to MLB The Show and Perfect Team. What's on your list these days?
Rich, I've got a plethora, or being that it's that time of the year, a cornucopia of games that I'm currently playing.
I thought you were going to say smorgasbord.
I don't even know what language that is. Maybe that's German. Full disclosure, I am the baseball community manager for Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball. But I am playing the amazing new mode, Perfect Team. Check it out if you haven't. This season, though, tragically, my team started off 0-12. And I don't know what happened. I assume there was some glitch in the game. I had to talk to the development team. I'm sure they went in and accidentally screwed up my team. But I think that's all good now because we're currently 42-34. I don't know what happened. My team remembered how to play baseball, and I am super excited about that. What else we got going on? Literally playing Madden as we speak. Still loving the Ultimate Team, just grinding through that. Did we ever start the Press Row Madden League? Did I just not get invited on these emails?
If there's a league, I'm not in it.
I see how it is. We're all hiding the truth from me. Okay.
Brian, are you in the Press Row League? Because I'm not.
Well, I started it, and then you never played, Rich.
Oh.
And then I sent the invite to TJ, and he never joined. So it kind of fell apart. I thought
that was
apart.
Like a test league.
Well, yeah, that's what we were going to do first. How can we test if nobody...
I don't need to test. I'm a professional... I don't know if you know, I'm on the Press Row podcast. I'm a professional video games player here. I don't need to test things.
Well, let's do this because I want to do the league. And so it's, what's interesting is I would have been extremely bad. Well, I'm always an extremely bad league member. I would have been worse than normal because of my travel schedule. I've basically been gone, Monday through Thursday nights almost every week. But that's not going to be the case over the next, couple of months as we get into the holiday season. So let's commit now to giving this a go because I want to play some Madden. I haven't played Madden in a while, and I want to play in a league against you guys. So let's commit to starting that back up. What do you say, boy?
The good thing is we're at a point now where Madden has had a bunch of patches. So if anything, the experience is probably going to be better. But I think we still want to stick with the arcade and the adjusted sliders, which yes. if you didn't listen to the episodes a couple months ago, this is what we kind of landed on as our way to maybe best enjoy the game this year is with arcade and adjusted sliders to tone things down just enough, but to give you that sense that that anything can happen in the game that's kind of reduced when you're playing on sim. And we just got we've been playing essentially the same game with tweaks for a number of years, and so we're looking for something a little different. And and I tested it out myself a few games on the arcade with all pro setting, and messed around with the sliders to where I thought I got it pretty close, and we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I want to do that. And you know, speaking of arcade, I mean, if anybody watched the Rams Chiefs game, that was the most fun game I've watched in years that didn't involve, you know, the Super Bowl run last year, right? That was fantastic. If that wasn't arcade mode, I don't know what is. That's kind of what the NFL wants now. And so I think it's even not more realistic, but certainly at least a little bit more reflective of, you know, you look at what the Saints are doing, you look at what the Chiefs are doing, you look what the Rams are doing. Like, the teams that really have the right weapons on offense in the NFL are absolutely blowing up offensive records.
But that's three teams. the personnel that those three particular teams have, not widely seen across the league. Like, you're not going to get a game like that with the Giants. It's not representative of the league as a whole necessarily, but you're right, Rich. I mean, that's fun. Cause not only is very little punting, you know, defense, you'd say, man, the defenses didn't even show up, but no, there were several touchdowns scored on defense. So
big sacks, they made plays.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right. That did in many ways look like, Madden on arcade, although, you know, they're not necessarily throwing guys off of them when they try to tackle them or making spectacular catches over three defenders or whatever. But as we've talked about before, I don't necessarily think the arcade setting is super arcadey. It's actually fairly realistic. It's just, you know, pushes the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah, just you have a little bit more success. In particular, for me, throwing the ball and running. Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Fun. Yeah. I don't mind losing in a game, you know, especially if I lose like 38 to 33 or, you know, 28 to 17. It's not fun losing in the game 21-3 because I can't move the ball. That's how it sort of felt with me on certainly like all pro and simulation. Like, I just, I've completely lost the ability without really doing what I'm doing in the two games that I am playing regularly. I've completely lost the ability to be successful in Madden.
You get into that routine where you play, you know, you play Madden every year, and you try to do things the same way, and the CPU essentially plays the same way, and it gets stale. So that's why we had to mix it up, really.
So
speaking, I got more games.
Well, no, I was going to say we're talking about Madden. You're playing Madden, TJ. You got more on your list there.
Yeah, man, it's a great time to be a sports video game player.
I agree with that.
I'm still going through my NBA 2K, my career. I think I'm like 40 games into my first season still. Because I have this problem.
Hold on. When you say your first season, you mean the first season of the story mode or after you, spoiler alert for those of you who still haven't done it, after you sort of get onto an NBA team and sort of have your first NBA season?
First
NBA.
Not much of a spoiler.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I just, you know, I got to be respectful.
Yeah, I'm like 40.
You're gonna play in the NBA.
Yeah. I just get super frustrated when I go up against someone that's actually really good in my position, and then I get angry. Even though I think I'm the second winningest team, I'm on the Celtics. I think we're like 28-3.
What position?
I'm a power forward, which in retrospect, I took Jason Tatum's position.
I was just going to ask, whose job did you take? Jason Tatum. I don't know if you've been watching my Twitter feed, but I've been having a lot of fun sending Pete Dodd and Mike Phillips my highlights from my Celtics. I'm doing the Celtics, my GM in NBA 2K19, and Jason Tatum is regularly on my highlight reel. He's really good.
Yeah, he's ended up playing some center, I think, just because I'm starting over him now. But yeah, that's really fun until you get matched up against someone that's like way better than you at your position. Like, I had to play against Joel Embiid, and he just really made me look like a fool so much that at like the half I just turned the PlayStation off and I was like, I'm done with this for right now. but my team's like 28-3. And I think the Warriors are like 30-1 or 30-2. So that's a little ridiculous, but I guess also realistic at the same time.
So do you play any other mode in NBA 2K or is it career?
No, just my career. I'm enjoying that in the limited time that I have with it.
What's your rating?
I want to say like a low to mid 80s.
And how much money have you spent on VC?
Wow, Rich. You know what Rich does? He just goes into bars and he's like, excuse me, yeah. Miss, how old are you?
Certainly do not do that. I'm curious. People want to know. And if you don't want to say it, that's fine. You can keep asking.
I think I spent $20 because I wanted to play my park with my friends. And I was like, well, this 60 is not going to cut it. So,
you know, we had a discussion about that, about the My Career. And when we had Dazar on the show, and because I got the, I don't know what edition it was. It wasn't the most expensive edition, but it wasn't the $60 edition. Right. And so, like, I took all that VC and poured it into my dude, and he was relatively low rated after that. And you know, and so we had a discussion about that on the show. That's why I was curious, because I haven't spent any more money. But the reason I haven't spent any more money on VC and NBA 2K19 is because I've gone to my GM, which is a non-VC mode. And I'm completely sucked into that, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But I want to let you keep on going, talking about your games at the moment.
Yeah, I really don't love the setup of how they have all that VC stuff built in and how you can't really change your guy once you start making them. Like, then you have to go create another guy, but those points don't carry over to that guy. So if you want guys that are really good at two positions, you can play hundreds of hours, or you can spend lots and lots of money over and over again.
Right.
So that's, and again, I think we talked about this a couple press rows ago, because that's super frustrating, because the thing that got me into wanting to play 2K this year was watching the 2K League. Mm. And if they're playing multiple games, what's it? One big walnut can be a glass cleaning center one game, and then the next game he's just like he's a completely different makeup of his player. But you can't really do that again unless you're spending a whole bunch of time in multiple My Careers, or just spending a whole bunch of VC to get these guys built up to being acceptable players. So I'm a little turned away from that. But I also heard, like, if you get your guy built up all the way, like the second one you make, you can make an 85 pretty quick. Sure, but that doesn't sound fun. And even after I put like the $20 in to like go play in my park, I felt dirty going back into my career, because like my guy went from like a 62 in one game to an 80 in the next game. I was like, well, that's not how this works. That's not how any of this works.
Doesn't exactly happen like that.
Yeah. Also playing Forza Horizon 4, which I am really loving.
Really?
Yeah. You know why? Let me tell you.
Really?
Let me tell you the problem with, well, it's personally my problem with the way I play sports games. Since I play a lot of the card collecting modes, they're always very much demanding of my time.
Mm-hmm.
Like Madden's like, hey, we're doing this Mutt Harvest. I need you to play all these solos so you can get these two free guys. And I'm like, I do want those free guys. So let me try to play all these solos right now. Or NBA's got stuff and it's like, come do this. Or MLB's got events and come play these now and all this over here. And Force is always just like chilling back there, like, hey, you want to come take a couple, go drive around this beautiful outdoors? Just swing by whenever you want. I'm here waiting for you. There's no rush. You come by, it might be winter, it might be sunny, but you're going to have a good time no matter when it is. So it's nice to just like have a game that isn't like being oppressively asking for my time all the time.
I agree with that. My issue with Forza is not that there isn't a lot of fun racing to be had. It's that I don't know how to do that. And
just take it easy and chill. That's because you're probably on the treadmill while you're trying to play, Rich.
Well, that's true sometimes. But like, there's just so many things on the map. And like, again, I'm not going to repeat myself from the last couple of weeks, but there's sometimes I go to a race and I'm not in the right car. And I don't even have the opportunity to get in the right car. Like, it's literally blank, and I can't figure that out.
Oh, like, okay, I haven't. So maybe you're getting that, because so what I'm doing is the majority of the time I'm just asking the little thing to tell me where to go.
Okay, which is fine. Now,
I think maybe that is only sending you to places that you have the stuff for. I'm wondering if that's a possible thing.
It's absolutely possible, but just don't have a thing on there and then not, and say, go here to do this. And then I go there and I show up and it's this awesome, you know, like online race that you're supposed to be able to participate in. That's, you know, timed. And then the car you're in is no good. And then you go to, it says buy car menu comes up and it's just blank and you click buttons and nothing happens. And then you realize you literally cannot participate in this race. It's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of bizarre things that I've gone over, but I'm with you in that. As long as you can get over the anxiety that is created by having 743 options right in front of your face on the map, which I can't get over that. But if you can get over that anxiety, the races can be fun when you can find the right race and get the right car to that race. I'm with you there 100%. Yeah. And I always love seeing my friends. I'm always competing against my friends in those races. I love that. That's one of my favorite little things is with the Drivatars.
Yeah, I think there's some people that I might have to stop being friends with on Xbox just because they're too good.
Yeah, I can see that.
Seems like a little frustrating.
I was going to say, I think Rich's whole not liking Forza comes from the fact that he's sick of being harassed by his friends for how bad his Drivatar actually is.
That does happen regularly. I'm aggressive. There's nothing wrong with being aggressive. It's Forza Horizon. You're supposed to be aggressive. You're supposed to run people off the road. That's the whole thing. I think
that's not the actual case.
No.
But,
all right.
But yeah, I like it. I like the driving. It's very much, I mean, in my opinion, it's Forza Horizon 3 and better, which is good because I'm also playing Hitman 2, which is Hitman better. Hmm. So the only thing I didn't, Hitman 2 is really Hitman 1 Season 2.
Right.
For the most part.
Well, the company went out of business and then like came back and
not
that anything even exists at all is amazing.
No. So what happened, if I remember this correctly, IO Interactive was owned by Square Enix. Is it Square Enix? Am I even wrong on that part? And I guess they like let them go, but I think they were still a company, just a company with no games. And then they were able to buy the Hitman and
a lot of people got let go. Like it was a bad situation. Yeah. It was a bad situation for a lot of people that I know.
Yeah.
So the fact that this is even back is great.
Yeah. Yeah. Because after playing season one, I was like, this is awesome. I need season two. The fact that they released it all in one shot and not an episodic thing.
Mm.
I understand. Got to get your money. But the episodic thing, I think, really helped this game, or at least I think it really helped Hitman 1 because it let you like get intimately get an intimate knowledge of each of the maps,
right?
And in Hitman 2, and so like you could play your story mission and then you can go back, or in Hitman 1 you would play your story mission and then you'd still be on that map so you could go do other stuff. But in Hitman 2, since you have all the maps now, you could literally just sit there and bang out the whole story mission in, or all the story missions in a couple hours, and then depending on what kind of person you are, you might be done with Hitman 2 if all you want to do is play the story mission. Again, if you're just trying to play the story mission, Hitman's probably not the right game for you because a lot of that game is going through those same maps over and over and over again.
It's like a high score chasing, right? I mean, that's what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Or just there's also just so many ways to accomplish the same thing. And they've put in a lot of work to making them all very interesting. Like
I love watching you and Adam go back and forth on Twitter, you know, one-upping each other.
Oh yeah,
well, Hitman's
yeah. Well, that's because Hitman's good, and Adam's high scores should never stand. but yeah, Hitman 2, a ton of fun. If you liked Hitman 1, get Hitman 2. Don't ask any questions. The only thing I didn't like is I remember when I got Hitman 1, and then I bought like some pack that I thought was the Game of the Year pack, but I guess it wasn't the Game of the Year pack, so I had to buy it again. I had to spend like another $20 in Hitman 2. To re-unlock all the Hitman 1 content. But now, and then your progress from Hitman 1 doesn't carry into Hitman 2, which is kind of whack. But it's fine. I'm definitely going to go back and play all the Hitman 1 content again. Because again, it was just a really good game. Some would call it my 2016 sports game or non-sports game of the year.
I definitely played some of that and enjoyed it. And I need to, at some point, go check that out again, because I have the whole first season on one of my two consoles. I think it's the PlayStation, but it might be the Xbox.
Yeah, and I think they have a demo or something, maybe. So, yeah, if you don't have it, I'd recommend checking it out some way. and seeing if it's your thing. I want to say that's all I'm playing aside from the great mobile game Bricks and Balls, which I think I'm up to level 305 on, which is also a whole lot of fun.
Brian, are you playing any sports games these days? And if so, what? And if not, what non-sports games are you playing?
Yeah. No, I haven't felt inspired by really any of these games to commit a whole lot of time to lately. Played a little FIFA, a little NBA 2K, played some Super Mega Baseball too, but I'm still trying to also work my way through Spider-Man. But, you know, I was looking at...
love Spider-Man.
Kind of the crop of games, and we have the awards stuff to do next month, and the Game Awards announced their nominees and put together nominees of the for sports/racing, which is something I don't really like. Well,
especially because there you could easily have both of those as categories. Like some years the racing, the racing genre can be really slim, but it's been a couple or two or three years since that was the case.
Yeah. So, and yeah, you'll remember we criticized the Game Awards a couple of years ago for, and I think it ended up winning. It was like all the ones you would expect: NBA 2K, FIFA, Madden, and then Mario Kart.
Yeah.
And yeah, then like Mario Kart one. It's like, yeah. What are they doing together? So this year, you got FIFA, Pro Evolution, NBA 2K.
Nice.
Along with Forza Horizon 4 and Mario Tennis Aces.
What?
Which is interesting to me because as your reaction there tells me, Rich, even Nintendo/Mario fans don't think that was a good game.
I love Nintendo. I love Mario. Just played an hour of the new Mario Party with my son last night. It's awesome. Mario Tennis Aces is A, not a sports game, and B, not a particularly good game, at least the version that I played when it launched. But it's definitely not a sports game. I mean, Mario Kart is at least a racing game. Mario Tennis Aces, whether you like the game or not, it's not about tennis.
I'm not going to lie. I know someone who is getting a Switch for Christmas, and they are excited to play Mario Tennis. Apparently, they played it somewhere, and they are excited.
Reconsider.
I mean, I played it for an hour and a half when it came out and have not felt go back. So I might be I'm not being fair to it, but you're I've got not, so many good games to play. Like if something doesn't grab me, I don't play it anymore. That's
look,
me.
You're not alone. And because I just pulled up the Metacritic on the game. So sometimes I wonder like, okay, did they strike a deal to include this game in there? Because it's not like it was critically reviewed well either. It's a 75 on Metacritic and the user score is a 6.9, which is nice, but not great. I don't know if it was just like, oh, it's Nintendo, it's Mario, we're gonna throw it in there because that, you know, gets more people interested or a different demographic or whatever. But it's a weird group because of that. So Mario Tennis Aces and Forza Horizon 4, very different games, and of course the annual sports sims, very different from those two.
But they don't even announce the winner during the show.
No, so this is one. This is a category that they don't feel warrants getting on stage. Yeah,
I can't imagine there was any deal struck. It's not like this is on the stage or anything. You know, the last year they were having the pre-show red carpet or whatever it was, and they casually mentioned, won the sports racing game of the year or whatever it was. I don't even remember. I was just like, wow, they really, really aren't interested in talking about, which is fine. I mean, they know, or you know, they know what they're trying to cultivate with their audience. I'm not saying what they should do, but it's a bummer. But again, I'm also not very much into reviews or award shows anymore anyway. So, you know, it's not like I'm going to pretend to be upset by it. It's just curious.
No,
you know, that I don't know. To me, if you're going to have an award show, this is me. If I was going to do it, which, you know, it's kind of a stretch. If I'm going to have categories, I would at least announce the winners of each of the categories that I've announced are categories.
You know, Game Awards are basically the most mainstream show or broadcast or however you want to frame it. So obviously they're going to do a lot of things that are popular. It seems like most of the categories, people were pretty pleased with what they nominated this year. And it's just, I don't know. The sports thing baffles me, because it's just, once again, we go back to, no, you know, outside of a few outlets, not many people, not many places take it real seriously, even though it's always among the top sellers every single year.
Mm. Yes.
I do wonder if, like, let's just say Forza Horizon 4 did win it, mm-hmm. and they were going to show a trailer for whatever their first DLC is going to be. Mm-hmm. I wonder if then they would show it. End up showing it on the
maybe on the maybe thing. I mean, again, they know their audience, right? They know what they're doing, so they have reasons for doing what they do and not doing what they don't do.
Yeah, the other thing is the way this all splits the vote. You have the traditional sports gamers who are voting, who are probably going to throw their vote to NBA 2K or FIFA, and then you have like everybody else who's going to throw it towards Mario because it's Mario, or Forza because it's a great racing game, or, you know, arguably a great racing game. So I don't know. I don't know that you actually get a true representative of the best of anything when you smash them together like this. But anyway, that was just catching my attention here as we were talking, and I was curious what you guys thought about all that.
The good thing is the awards that matter for sports games come out in about a month on this show. So
yeah, we're gonna blow that out. Yeah.
Sorry, well, Chris. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say the Game Awards literally are not about the awards to begin with. The Game Awards have done a fantastic job at drawing eyeballs for trailers and announcements that get dropped during the show. I've done the last 2 years, I've done a co-stream of the Game Awards, and mostly because of what they announce, not the awards that they give out. It has kind of become a place where you expect big trailers, big announcements. And when you watch the production of the Game Awards, those announcements and trailers are definitely take precedence over the actual awards themselves. The underlying theme of last year's show was everyone was waiting to see another Death Stranding trailer. Nobody was really going to pay attention to who was going to win Game of the Year, because everybody thought Zelda had it in the bag, and they just wanted to make sure that Battlegrounds didn't win. But everybody was there, like, we know we're getting a new Death Stranding trailer. We can't wait. So that show, I feel, is less about the awards and more about the stuff that gets announced.
You know, it's weird. It'd be like if you had the Oscars, and instead of, you know, all the awards being given out, it was just, here's a trailer for the next Avengers.
Yeah, but yeah, that's what it is. And to the credit of the people who organized it, that's how they're going to make more money and get more eyeballs. Because,
again,
no one is going to watch a 3-hour award show where you can pretty much tell, looking through all the categories, who's going to win what. I think this year there may be a little bit of wavering on some of the bigger awards. There's some good back and forth, but I mean, last year the underlying theme of the awards portion was it was the return of Nintendo with Mario Odyssey and Legend of Zelda winning a bunch of awards. And 5 minutes after the show was over, nobody online was talking about the awards. Everyone was talking about the things that they announced during the show and the trailers that they showed off. So like I said, to the credit of the people that organized that, that's how they get more people watching it. So, you know, to smaller, more thoughtful people like us, we're the people you should be turning to for actual awards. You know, people who actually are playing these games and not trying to give it out as part of a popularity contest.
Chris, before you chime in, we will talk about how I will be tuning into the Video Game Awards, because I want to see if anybody gets interviewed while they are completely ripped.
Okay, that was
swearing and cursing about the Oscars. You know, you mentioned Oscars. That was bad. I mean, that was.
Everybody was remembers that guy, though.
Yeah. Everybody was talking about that. Nobody cared who won the Sports Game of the Year last year.
That was 11 and a half months ago.
That was difficult to watch.
It was painful.
All right, Chris.
Rich.
MLB The Show. A whole bunch of stuff happened. What the heck is going on? I'm like, all of a sudden, my Twitter timeline is blowing up with you and Mills and TJ talking all about all sorts of stuff going on. What the heck is happening over in the show?
Well, I think in terms of 18, I think they've done a really good job in the last, let's say, 6 to 8 weeks, maybe even more, bringing people back in the game with what people are finally seeing is achievable content programs. You know, they had the Future Stars program, which for 17 was a big hit. They did it again for 18 with a bit of a different flair this time around, where they did it, you know, based on divisionally and, you know, saying that completion of the Future Stars would lead you to more immortal players. And that immortal player, or well, three of them, but being George Brett, closer Eckersley, and Mike Trout, they released the postseason program, which was very, very achievable. And for somebody who has not played a lot of MLB The Show, you could go through the postseason program and basically end up with an entire lineup of diamonds for very, very little effort. Most of the missions that were required could be completed in one or two games, and you could get yourself a Diamond Bregman, a Diamond Price, a Diamond Pierce, a Diamond Bellinger, for literally very little effort. So they've done a really good job at saying, okay, we've had a rough summer in terms of how our game has been received, you know, online, on Twitter, on Reddit. Maybe we need to say, okay, let's give people more achievable things to do. And yeah, I would definitely agree with what you said, Rich, that the amount of people playing this game has definitely taken an uptick in the last 8 weeks. Chatter seems to be more positive than it has been at any point during this particular cycle. And then they decided to hedge their bets, you know, yesterday by announcing their closed alpha for MLB The Show 19, which takes place the 13th to the 19th of December. The signups are open until, I think it's the 27th.
Is this, do they do this every year?
The alpha,
the first time.
This is the second time. They did an alpha last year. Similar idea, closed alpha. Last year, it was right before Christmas. It was the 20th to the 24th of December. So this year, they've expanded it from to 6 days, the 13th to the 19th. They've moved it up a little bit in December. So hopefully that, you know, will give people more time to play away from, you know, Christmas family commitments and traveling and whatnot. But yeah, they have an open sign up over on their website. If you go to theshownation.com, I think it's shownation.com/alpha, actually, is the link to go find it. And yeah, signups are open until the 27th, and they're going to do a quote unquote random selection. And yeah, they're going to let people play their newly tweaked MLB The Show 19. They had a full list of changes on their stream yesterday of things that they are improving or implementing for the new version of the game. So they've definitely regained some of that faith that I think that a lot of the community had lost over the course of the summer when things just didn't seem to go right at all.
So, TJ, I'm curious what you think about all this.
Rich, I really don't know what to say on this topic, which is why I messaged you to pitch it to me on this one. Yeah, everything Chris said, great, great, great. I'm still kind of down on this game. I still have not really seriously played it since July, I think. I feel like this year's gameplay, specifically the hitting, for good and for bad, was just like a real miss for me. And I've tried to hop in and play a couple games here and there since then after they've done some patches. I got nothing. Like, even at the beginning of the year, I wasn't having a ton of fun with the game, but this year has been by far my least favorite year. I would say back to whatever the first one was, what, 06? And that's coming off of, you know, I think since 15 came out, until literally this July, I don't think I had stopped playing MLB The Show games. So it was a real kick in the pants for me. A lot of people didn't love the content that came out this year. I was fine with it. The problem being some of the missions and stuff to accomplish some of that stuff was, you know, if you have all the time in the world and you want to go play the computer for hundreds of hours or tons of hours, I mean, it was achievable. As Chris said, some of the more recent stuff was easier to get, which is great. But with the way the gameplay has been this year, I had no interest in going back in and checking that stuff out. I'm interested for this alpha. I would like to see, you know, if they actually do take care of the things that they say they're going to take care of. Because if they do, I mean, even if they don't, I'm still getting, you know, my digital deluxe edition day one to play it. The thing that really concerned me is that when they did this, they had a stream a couple days ago to announce the alpha. And, you know, the stuff that they say they're working on was literally stuff that we heard at the beginning of the MLB, was it 18 cycle, saying that, like, hey, this year we heard you guys, contact hitters are completely viable. They're going to be great this year. Don't worry about it. Number one thing on the slides is, hey, in this alpha, contact hitters are going to be viable because we know that they weren't all year. And then in the gameplay streams at the beginning of the year, hey, we know bunting was broken. We went out, we fixed bunting. It's great this year. Stream for the preview for the alpha. Hey, you can't bunt now. You're just out all the time, and most of the time it's a double play because not even sack bunts work. So I'm interested. I want to get in this alpha. I want to play it, and I want it to be amazing because I love playing this game, and I was like real disappointed by this year, and I want it to be great. That's why, like, when we talk about the MLB, like, I get mad that I'm not happy with it, which seems really, really stupid, but that's just because I want it to be so good, and I want it to be, you know, we've given it sports game of the year to, like, the past few years. I don't think I've ever not voted it my number one sports game of the year. Maybe I give it an honorable mention this year. I don't even know if it makes my honorable mention with all the great stuff that we've had this year. So yeah. I'm very, like, emotionally torn on this game this year.
Yeah. I said it on stream earlier today. I'm at the point with the show that I don't want words anymore. I need to see the action. I don't want to hear that they're going to fix bunting. I want to see it fixed. And exactly like TJ said, last year during all of their lead up to release streams, we heard a lot of good things. And unfortunately, a lot of those things did not come to fruition in the actual gameplay. You know what? I'm excited. Again, I love the show franchise. I'm a baseball guy. It's my sport. I want this game to be great. I want all baseball games to be great. You know, I wish the same thing on, you know, Super Mega Baseball and RBI Baseball and Out of the Park. I want every baseball game to be amazing. Because I love them so much. But with the show specifically, I am at the point where I don't want to hear the words. I want to see it in application, and I want to see them make the things that they say they can make work actually physically work.
So this is something I've actually spent a little bit of time thinking about. And Brian, I'm curious your opinion on this. Sports have changed pretty dramatically over the last few years. If you look at the NBA, right, the rise of the 3-point, right, and analytics, and how it's completely changed how teams approach offense and defense. You know, scoring is way up in the NBA because of the wave that people play, and even the way that you put teams together now, significantly different. You know, you keep hearing stretch fives, and, you know, a guy like Steph Curry 20 years ago might not have been able to be nearly as successful as he is now. And, you know, just a completely different game than it was 5 years ago, much less 10 or 20 years ago. And that can translate into a really fun video game experience, as I think NBA 2K19 is. You look at the NFL, as we were talking about earlier, Brian, right? Like the offense is way up in the NFL scoring this year, right? We're talking in a short amount of time, a pretty significant increase. And that's because
of a lot of reasons, but certainly the protections that they have put in place against like receivers and helpless positions, like guys can't just take shots at receivers prone like they used to, and certainly trying to protect quarterbacks more and things like that, and in that can, right, a more offensive NFL can translate into a better video game experience for a large amount of people. Even the NHL, like, scoring is up this year pretty significantly from the last couple of years. The game has opened up
even throw in their rule changes, like 3-on-3 overtime. Right,
exactly. But then you look at Major League Baseball, which has changed wildly in the last 5 years, even 3 years. And I'm not just talking shifts, right? I'm talking about how over the last 2 years, and it's accelerated this year, in the actual real sport, strikeouts are way up, like way up. Stolen bases, way down. Bunting, sacrifices, almost extinct. And, home runs are like so much the only way that teams score anymore. And it's not even hyperbole to say that. Unlike the NBA with wide open scoring, the NFL with wide open scoring, the NHL with wide open scoring, the way that the real sport of Major League Baseball has moved in the last couple of years especially, I don't think translates, if you want to be authentic, to a particularly fun video game console experience. I mean, is it really fun to either strike out or hit home runs?
Well, I think you also forgot maybe even a bigger factor than any of those, which is the rise of defensive shifts, which for a lot of people has reduced their enjoyment of watching the games.
Like, I personally don't have a reduced enjoyment of the game, but it's just a very different game. Like, well, some people are militant in their dislike of how analytics have changed it. And another thing I didn't mention, pulling starters in the third or the fourth inning regularly, and in the whole concept of the opener, like those are some other significant changes. Like, this stuff wasn't happening 3 years ago at all.
So I think in the baseball sense, what's happening is you do have that analytical side of things, a strategic side, which can enhance what you're doing with a video game, right? Depending on how you're going to play it and how much you want to delve into that. Now, of course, the developers have to provide those tools to do it. Like, would you really have any kind of strategic advantage by starting a reliever in a game of MLB The Show? I would guess it's not the same. You're not going to get the same advantage by turning a lineup over or getting through the first few batters and then bringing the starter in like you might in real baseball. So it's a matter of them copying that over. But you're right. In the sense that, a lot of the changes that have been made don't necessarily translate to making the game more fun. You can simulate it. You can try and copy as best as you can, and you put it out there. I'm not sure if there's a great solution to working around that without, we already see the show trying to get around the pace of baseball by giving you all these different options on how to play the games faster. But at the same time, if you're someone like me, you feel like you're being cheated out by using them. You're being cheated out of the strategic elements of baseball by using quick counts or by just player locking. Cause you're being every, those decisions are being taken away from you. I'm not sure there's a great approach right now. There's a reason why baseball in video games is one of the lower selling of the sports games. It's way behind soccer, football, and basketball. That's one of the main reasons is it's a tough game to translate. You have to be a very, very patient person. Many baseball fans are, but you have to be, it's a lot different when you got a controller in your hands and you want to make the action happen. And the best way to approach things is sometimes to let the action come to you. And it's just tough because most video games, you want to be aggressive. You want to make things happen. And in baseball, sometimes that's just the wrong way to go about it.
Chris, if you want to make baseball authentic to what's happening in 2018,
you have to, you, as a batter, you're going to strike out a lot, and then you're going to hit a few home runs. Is that to me, that's like, I personally, like, I get really aggravated by striking out constantly, but yet we demand authenticity. That's what the game is now. How do you figure out that balance to make that fun? Again, fun from a, not a standpoint of, is this more realistic, but from a standpoint of, I'm sitting here pressing buttons and swinging and missing at every at bat, except every sixth at bat, I make the right contact and get the right, you know, exit velocity and the right launch angle, and I hit a home run. Like, that just seems to me a really difficult mix to get right.
I feel like baseball is so hard to replicate because there are, and again, baseball's not unique in this aspect, but there are so many different ways to play the game. Yes, you know, in real life, the meta right now is, you know, hitting home runs and striking out a ton, and it seems to work. But in terms of replicating that in a video game, I don't think there is any way you can replicate any form of baseball in a video game and please everyone. And that's, you know, that's something that anyone who makes a baseball game, whether it be Sony San Diego, whether it be Metalhead, whether it be us, everyone has to deal with the same problem. You cannot make a game that is going to play the way everybody wants. You know, MLB The Show by default in Diamond Dynasty has auto shifts turned on. A lot of people hate that. A lot of people love it. There is a lot of talk in the online community that that auto shifts and shifts in Diamond Dynasty are ruining the game. You know, it's part of the game. It's realistic to have them in there, but you know, by them adding that level of authenticity, it still alienates people that don't want it. I think what most people could agree on is that you want the user input portions of the game to be realistic. So if I square up a ball with good timing, I should get a good result. Not a hit every time, but I should hit the ball with a certain amount of exit velocity and sharply in the general direction of a fielder or of some green grass. That's the issue I think that we can all kind of agree on and say, okay, I want it, the user input portions, to feel natural. I want to feel rewarded when I do something good. This is a big issue that MLB The Show has had. The frivolities of shifts and IRL replications, they don't matter if the fundamental user input portions don't work properly. If you can't pitch because they have lag, if you cannot hit because the hitting engine does not work properly, if you cannot field because the fielding animations for yet another year have some really weird things that happen from time to time that make you not be able to field the baseball, if a throwing animation causes a 60 speed guy to beat out a routine ground ball, those are things that they have to fix. You're never going to make everyone happy by trying to replicate a game like a real life sport. Hockey's the same. Football's the same. Basketball's the same. You cannot replicate a sport and please 100%, but you're certainly going to please a heck of a lot of people if you tweak and perfect those user input areas to actually replicate what the user is trying to do. And I think that in terms of sports gaming, that's the bigger discussion. You know, we talk about it with NHL. Everybody early on in NHL was really, really happy with the changes they made to skating. Myself included, I thought NHL was back to elite levels of gameplay with where the skating was at. Then they decided to change it and revert back to a skating model that was similar to previous years. And the majority of people hated it. Didn't matter at that point any of the extracurricular things that were in the game. It's that user input that was so good was broken or taken away for reasons X, Y, and Z. You know, that is what MLB The Show has to deal with. It's just about making sure that the user input is rewarded. You can have shifts, don't have shifts. That, like, to me personally, that stuff doesn't bother me. You know, you're playing the game. At some point, you have to realize, okay, this is what's in the game. This is what I have to deal with. But when you square up a ball and you hit a dribbler back to the third baseman and you're like, that doesn't seem right. Those are the parts that stick with you.
Yeah. And the thing for me that was kind of the problem was, you know, obviously I don't want to strike out more, but I think the real big problem that I had while hitting and while pitching was there were bad swings that shouldn't felt like they should not have been making contact that were making contact. So when I'm pitching, I throw a great pitch that they look like they swing early on or swing completely over the top of, and they made some sort of contact, which sucks because now I'm not getting my strikeout, which is what's happening in baseball. Guys are striking out. Yeah. And then if I'm batting, I make a bad swing on a pitch that I should just miss, and I would much rather miss because, you know, if I have a guy like Joey Gallo at the plate, he should be missing a lot of balls and not fouling them off as often or not hitting little pop-ups into the air. That guy's either going to hit a home run or he's going to strike out. And if I make a horrible swing, I want to miss that ball because that means I get another pitch to try to hit a home run again and not just hit a little dribbler or a pop-up to the infield.
Yeah,
and they have what really happened a lot this year. And I think part of it was when they did that expansion of the PCI to go to be able to go like everywhere and out more outside of the strike zone. And I really feel like the amount that you could just foul off balls and make bad contact when you're swinging at a bad pitch and you're not putting the thing in the right spot. You don't deserve anything for that. Yeah. And yes, hitting a little dribbler is negative, but it's not negative enough for the pitcher that just threw a good pitch and got you to swing at something stupid. So I want to strike out more, and I also want to strike out more people because I think it's a double-edged sword. Like, if you're pitching, you want to strike guys out. And if you're good at pitching and you strike out a lot of guys, you have to understand that when you're batting, if you're not good at hitting, you're going to strike out. And I think that's what people get that twisted around, like, I should be this amazing hitter. But then they don't think like, oh, but if I'm pitching, I also want to be unstoppable. But you can't have them both be the same thing.
Yeah. And they've already come out and said, we're going to see an increase in strikeouts when the alpha comes out. Whether, again, words at this point, but they have said that there will be an increase in strikeouts this year. How that comes to fruition, I have no idea. But yeah, I, as someone who played four games of Diamond Dynasty before we recorded this, strikeouts are hard to come by. You can make, you can have a guy wave at a slider a foot outside, wave at a changeup in the dirt, and then you try to go 99 at the letters and he gets a piece and you're like, I have no idea how. The guy, he was very late. Like, just a pitch that should absolutely be a swing and a miss for strike three. They get a piece and foul it off. And what that has led to in the game is it sort of inflates that power thing that people have seen, because if you can just constantly foul off pitchers, eventually the pitcher's going to make a mistake.
Yep.
It happens to all of us that play this game. Me personally, I like the MLB The Show right now to a certain extent because I love to pitch. I was a pitcher in real life. I love being able to take a guy who's got, you know, a good pitch mix and go out there and just carve people apart. I'm not striking anybody out, but, you know, you take solace in the fact that they ground out to shortstop 14 times and, you know, that's your game. But that's the thing is it's a difficult balancing act for them to say, hey, this is what we're trying to implement that comes from real life. How it affects you when you have a controller in your hand, that's what it comes down to.
So, Brian, one of the other things I've been playing, as I mentioned last week, and I keep on FIFA 19, having an absolute blast. I'm playing in a, just managing my Everton club. I'm more than halfway through the season. I recently made it through the January transfer window. And for the first time ever, I really finally figured out how to take advantage of my scouts and the players that they had recommended for me. It doesn't sort of make it easy to see, but when you go and you're scouting, it's not the first tab, but the second tab for each of your scouts sort of has all the different players listed in their and their values. And I signed a couple of really good players in the January transfer window. I'm currently in first place, but I'm only like 4 points out of fifth place. So there's a lot of, there's a lot of potential movement up, down, and sideways.
bolstered my club a little bit and am now prepared to make a stretch run. I am having so much fun playing FIFA right now between the quality of the gameplay, which unfortunately I happened to mention on the internet to our friend Corey Andrus that I was enjoying it, which then of course caused a whole bunch of people to attack me for daring to say such a thing. But
yeah,
I'm really enjoying the gameplay. Love the presentation. Loving FIFA. You mentioned you've been playing FIFA a little bit. When you play FIFA, how do you play it? Are you still sort of doing the Sounders in the Major League Soccer, or like what do you, how do you approach FIFA these days?
FIFA is the only, it's the only game I play that I primarily, and actually almost exclusively at this point, but of the sports games, I don't do this with any other one. I will go on and play random people online, right? I don't know what it is about FIFA. Maybe it's just that the games are quick. Maybe it's just that you don't really interact with your opponents. Maybe it's just that if you get killed, it happens quickly and you move on or what. But it's probably the only sports game that I feel like I can go online and play just random people. I don't know what it is. I definitely don't like that in the show, I'll tell you that. I don't like it, maybe again because it's baseball and it's a longer experience, but I can, you know, get everything compact in FIFA, everything I need in a short period of time and move on if it was a crappy opponent or whatever.
Now, are you playing online seasons? Is that how you're doing it?
Yeah.
And
team play and other things like that. I mean, it's the only one that I'll go on and play anything online really extensively.
But in your online seasons, are you Seattle and you're playing Barcelona and Real Madrid sometimes?
No, not usually. Okay. I hope not.
Yeah, I'm just curious how that works.
No. There's a system for that. So, I'll pick Premier League teams or whatever to try and compete. You kind of have to if you want to find opponents. It's one of the few, or if not the only one, that I feel comfortable doing that these days. Man, you know, like 15 years ago, I would have done that. I did do that. I played Madden 2004. I played some number of hundreds of online games where I just stayed up pretty much all night playing. Very different time, and I don't know what it was, if I changed or if the gaming landscape as far as how online is handled changed, or if just people became more demonstrative through chatting and the way they play the games. But FIFA, I actually like playing FIFA online, and I can't say that about really any of the other ones.
Well, I mean, one of the things I think back in the years that you're talking about, Brian, about playing people online, it was that it was a relatively cool thing, right? It used to be if you wanted to play a person, you had to have that person at your house. And so, you know, when online went from being okay a thing to then being, particularly with the launch of the 360, a really sort of integral part that wasn't just a weird gimmick, but was actually something that was part of it. I think that had a lot to do with the excitement. I mean, we've now had online, you know, head-to-head and online cooperative sports gaming for, I don't know, 15 years, 10 years, 15 years for, you know, so I think that probably has a little bit to do with it, maybe.
I was just thinking back to those days and the discovery of exploits, the way people would take advantage of them, things like the quicksand glitch in Madden and stuff. It was just you really got to experience something different, not just in competing. What I really liked about it at the time was that you were playing, instead of playing the computer, which would play essentially the same way, predictable.
Right.
It was not predictable when you played online. You know, you'd find somebody who would run around with the quarterback like crazy, or somebody who would blitz every play, or somebody who would nano blitz you, or, you know, cheat you in certain ways. And maybe at the time that was actually a good thing because it was just so different. And now it's like, I don't want to deal with that. or just the attitudes of people. I think that's more than anything. I don't care. People get sensitive if somebody won't throw them strikes in the strike zone in the show or whatever. I don't care about that, but people just jackasses. I don't want to deal with it.
Indeed.
And you can't really mess with people too much in FIFA. That's the thing. It's like if they're messing with you, if they're like diving at your players all over, you can take advantage of it. You know,
That's right.
There's nothing really that they can grief you with in FIFA, as far as I've found, at least. So I don't know. It's just my experience.
One of the people who attacked me for daring to say that I was enjoying FIFA 19 was AKA That Sports Gamer. TJ, what am I doing wrong enjoying FIFA 19?
You can enjoy it, just don't play online. So make sure when you say that gameplay is great, so you're saying offline gameplay.
I my gameplay in my single player season in my own 10 universe that I like very much, thank you. Now, it's not as good as Pro Evo, but it's a lot closer than it's ever been, and more than enough to keep me entertained. And I'm discovering new ways to score and attack, and I'm making adjustments to my lineup. I'm making adjustments to my tactics. You know, I've bought in a couple of new players, and I'm plugging them in and seeing the successes. And as I've mentioned a couple of times, regularly my CPU opponent commits fouls and gets yellow cards, which never used to happen in any of these games. And now it happens almost every game, sometimes twice a game. Like, it's great. And clearly it's not great for you. What's up with that?
Yeah. People online are trash bags,
but are you playing the same way Brian's playing, or are you just, you're straight
no,
up?
No, I play Ultimate Team. So, right. They're just bad with,
that's probably a different teams. Story. People, yeah. Ultimate Team, people have their money and their time on the line. I'm sure they are looking very differently at how they spend their time in there, because I have to, you know, are they having their time wasted, or, you know, where they can achieve something else if they were not doing that? It's a different approach, I guess.
Yeah, but also I still feel like the defenders, like, when the CPU is actually doing defending, like, you can obviously only control the one person at a time, the CPU is just still just not up to snuff. I mean, I don't think it's, I mean, I don't want to be that guy that says, you know, Pro Evo's got better gameplay, but, you know, Pro Evo's got better gameplay.
I agree with that.
May I pivot us?
Sure. Go for it.
While we're talking about international sports video games, can I tell you something? I am so upset with all of you. Literally, 2 months ago, we're recording this on November 21st. I just found out that on September 21st, we are getting a new sports game next year. And I'm very upset that you guys did not tell me. Coming from, I don't know if you know about this video game maker known as Konami, makers of the great, great Metal Gear. Some games of that franchise are really, really good.
Pro Evo.
They're making their miraculous return to sports video games, right? And as you know, they're very good at gameplay in games such as Pro Evo.
Mm-hmm.
Coming next year to the PlayStation 4 video game console, and wait for it, also the Vita, Professional Baseball Spirits 2019.
Are you serious?
Why are we not talking about this more? This happened 2 months ago. I did not find out about it yesterday.
Can I just say your entire spiel was invalidated by the fact that you said the makers of Pro Evo Soccer making their triumphant return to making sports games.
Yeah.
They literally put one out 2 months ago.
Soccer is not a sport, people. You run around like crazy. Have you ever seen children play it?
I get your hype, but your entire spiel was invalidated by that statement. I hope we leave that in there so all of the press row listeners can finally see that we're exposing TJ.
Look,
not having all the facts.
I just want a game from Konami that I can boot up, and the teams that exist are there.
Here's,
and I don't need a thumb drive or something to do something.
Here's my favorite. My favorite thing about TJ and his obsession with a pro, is it pro, what is it, pro,
just call it Professional Baseball Spirits, we're good right there.
I know there's a pro and there's a word with a y and there's just
yeah, yuck you.
Okay, with that game, my favorite thing is that 1 year TJ got it
at least 1 year and maybe multiple years. And because of course, everything is in Japanese, the menus and everything. The only thing that he could figure out how to do was to get to, I think, an all-star game. And that was the only way that you could play the game, right?
Rick, come on. I could do exhibition and home run derby. That was it.
There you go. Right. That was all that he could figure out his way to get to. Oh, I love that.
Can I tell you something I learned today? And why? And this is the thing that's going to make this thing I learned today is why everybody needs to buy Pro Baseball Spirits 2019. If you have a mobile phone, download the Google Translate app and make sure you get your Japanese dictionary downloaded. And you know what? Get that expanded Japanese dictionary just in case. Because what you can do with the app is you can hold your phone camera up to the screen and it will, in real time, translate the words that appear there. I tested this on some old Pro Baseball Spirit screens and it worked.
Nice.
And I might have to hook up my PlayStation 3 and start playing some more. But yeah, they have not made this game since 2015. I don't know why the hell it's coming out on the Vita, but you know what? I'm going to buy it on the Vita after I find out where my Vita is.
So is this an English language version of it, or is it the Japanese game again that's going to be only in Japanese?
All Japanese. I mean, maybe they'll put some translation in the game. I highly doubt it.
Will we be able to get it? Is there a version? Is there a region
lock? Is that not? There's no region lock on. You can go to our good friends over at playasia.com. To pick up your copies. That's where I always got mine from.
Good to know. All right. Well, I will not let you guys get out of here without talking a little bit more.
Did he hit mute? What happened?
So much for that.
Sorry about that.
That was maybe one of the most epic let you out here without talking about
Rich does not get to tell me what is going to happen or what is not going to happen. I cut him off. Enough.
Yep.
You're gone.
Let's try that again. So
yeah,
as I was saying, I'm not going to let you guys get out of here without talking a little bit. Yes. Shameless promotion about Out of the Park Baseball 19. Perfect team. So I'm sitting around my house on Monday night. And we're watching our good friend Snaggle Jay doing his thing, streaming it out of the park development, streaming some pack opening. And I don't know how many packs you had at the start. Maybe it was 15, maybe it was 20, maybe it was 25. It was a bunch of packs. I'm sitting there watching in my office with my son. And after about 9 packs, I let's just say not exactly loaded full of diamonds and perfects and such, I walk out of my room, walk out of my office, go to the other room, need to grab something. All of a sudden, my son starts hollering, Dad, you got to see this. There's fireworks going off. Check it out. And I come back in. Snaggle, what happened there?
So backstory first. I had been spending some time in the card database, just looking through, you know, at some of the various cards that we have in the game. There was one card in particular that from the 90s that stuck out, and I had gone on record saying that I wanted that card. And that card was a 1997 perfect 100 overall Toronto Blue Jays Roger Clemens. Because I remember that year very, very, very well. And I said, and when I did the pack opening last week, I said, I want this Roger Clemens card. And yeah, I had 35 packs when I started. I was probably 10 packs in, hadn't pulled anything. I was looking to the left.
And the crowd was giving you a bit of a hard time about that.
Oh yeah, yeah. The guys were getting restless. They were like, oh, this is the kind of pack luck that we all have and can't wait. When do the rigged packs start? And I'm looking to the left. So when you're watching the video, like, Out of the Park is like straight ahead. So when I'm looking at the camera, I'm looking at Out of the Park. My camera's on top of that monitor. My chat box is on my monitor to the left. So I'm looking to the left and just following the chat. And out of the corner of my eye, I see the black with gold border that I had not seen before. I did not know that was at the back of a perfect card looked like. And immediately I knew something was up and it flips over and it's the Roger Clemens 19, and I mean, If you go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/OTP developments, I have a clip of it there. It's about a minute long. And that is like my genuine reaction to it. I mean, I was buzzing about that like 2 hours later. It was just, and you know, it was such a cool moment because I started thinking, like, have I ever in any sports card collecting mode that I've played, have I ever pulled a card that good? And I couldn't think of any time where I've ever pulled a card that good that I wanted. And you know what? It was a surreal moment for, you know, that one part of the stream. But that's the cool thing about card collecting modes. And you know, with Perfect Team especially, where we have such a diverse, eclectic collection of over 2,600 cards right now that people can, you know, aim to get and mess around with. That was my holy grail, as I put it. So I can retire now. You know, there's nothing else to see here.
One issue is that this is the beta, the public beta, and yeah. Everything is getting taken away from everybody when we launch officially in a week and a half or so.
Yeah,
Does that bother you at all?
I'm gonna work Marcus really hard over the next 7 or 8 days and be like, listen, can you make an exception?
Help
a key member of the community management team out here one time. But you know what? That just means that we're gonna have to rip 35 packs every Monday night until we get another Rod of Clemens.
So I gotta tell you, it's been a lot of fun watching this whole Perfect Team thing happen. You know, it's not easy to explain how it works, right? It's not like Diamond Dynasty where you put your team together and you go out there and you play head-to-head matches with people. When you start your Perfect Team, you can start it anytime you want to, right? Any day, anytime. Yeah. You get enough packs to put a team out there, and then you get slotted into this entry pool. And then between the time that you start it and then the following Monday morning, whenever that is, your team is just playing games, you're earning points and currency. But then every Monday, an entire new season starts. And if you had started that week before, you get slotted into the rookie league. And then over the course of a season, you if you're able to win the playoffs, you get pushed into the league above and the league above. But if you don't do anything, right, if you're not like chasing a pennant, you just have your team, you know, automatically play the games and they get simmed every half an hour. So it's a different kind of a thing, which, you know, until I started playing it, I didn't really understand exactly what was going to happen and how it was going to be. And one of the things I realized is that some weeks it's okay just to have your team out there doing its thing. I'm not going to necessarily be chasing packs or cards or stuff. I'm just going to, you know, if I'm got a busy week, I'm just going to have them do their thing. But then other weeks I'm like, all right, this is the week where I'm going to go after it this season. I'm going to cash in some perfect points and get some cards and go for it. You know, it's an interesting, weird dynamic. And I know this sounds like an ad, but I'm just like, it's different and interesting. And what's really been fun is watching the community sort of talk about it and adopt and create their own language. And it's just been really interesting to watch happen.
It is definitely a different experience. I mean, if you're coming from, you know, a Madden Ultimate Team or FIFA Ultimate Team or Diamond Dynasty background, it definitely has a absolutely different feel to it. Like you said, the community has been fantastic. I mean, if you look at our verified Discord channel, discord.gg/OTP, we have over 700 people in there.
That's amazing.
And all 24 hours a day, people are discussing, you know, Perfect Team strategies. You know, what can I do when I'm at the various levels, you know, while I'm waiting to get into a league? The things I always say to people who, you know, kind of will DM me or they'll say, like, listen, what's the deal with Perfect Team? I always say, listen, if you have a copy of Out of the Park Baseball 19, just jump in and start messing around. It's free to try. There's no cost required. So, I mean, start up a team and start messing around. Go in the entry pool, play some games, open some packs. You know, go to the Discord, go to the forums and kind of ask around because it is a different experience. The cool thing about it is the way Perfect Team exists right now, this is going to be the baseline of what the mode is going to be. There's you know, so many cool things that, you know, we're not going to talk about specifically right now, but we have so many cool things that are planned as well. So, you know, it's a good time to get in and try it and see what the mode is all about before, you know, we start adding all these cool things like tournaments and like things that, you know, we're going to be doing as we go further into 19. And, you know, in March, when Out of the Park 20 comes out, the big 2-0, the platinum anniversary of Out of the Park Baseball, you know, you're going to be ready to hit the ground running and you're going to have that backbone of, hey, this is what Perfect Team is. I really like it. Or, you know what, maybe you get in and you realize, hey, and it's not really my jam, but I think the majority of the people that we've had try it fall into the category of the former for sure.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of people say, I was against this. I didn't want you guys to do this, but I got to admit, it's fun and I like it. I've had several people say, this is a nice tutorial that actually teaches you how to play Out of the Park proper. Yeah. So that's cool. So Brian Weedeye, here's my question for you. What do I have to do to get you to try Perfect Team?
How much money you got for me, Rich? No, I'm going to.
Good.
I'm going to. Not because you told me to, but because I'm going to. just remember that part about it. It's not because you told me to. No, you know, it's anytime with these type of modes, like I think this is a little more up my alley, but anytime with these type of modes, I just worried about what I'm getting myself into.
Right.
You know, like, what am I digging myself into? Am I going to be able to get myself out of it at some point?
Well, here's the thing. Like 2 weeks ago when the public beta started, I ripped my packs, put my team out there, you know, and was, you know, managing on a few hours here, a few hours there, added some, changed my lineups. This past week I was traveling a ton and didn't have my Mac with me that I run it on, and I didn't, and yet my team was still playing in the rookie league, not having a good season, but over the course of a week it still earned me a bunch of points. And now heading into this weekend, I'm gonna rip some packs and set my lineups, and I'm gonna try to go for it next week a little bit more because I'm not traveling, I'm gonna be around. So and again, obviously this is the public beta, but what I've found personally good about it is you can sort of choose, okay, I'm going to be involved this week or not. If you're not involved, your team's still going to earn you some points, and who knows, you may even have some success, but it doesn't really matter. You don't, at least I haven't felt that need and that anxiousness to constantly be in there grinding away. And I, again, it's not like this was planned, so to speak. It's just been sort of a thing that I've discovered, and it's interesting. And I know there's a bunch of other people like in the Discord where they don't approach it like this. Like, these guys are on it and they're on it hard, but those guys are the ones who might advance to the higher level leagues. And I'm cool sort of being in my rookie league for a few seasons and then collecting some points and then maybe trying to make a run. I don't know. It's just, it's different and interesting like that. So that hopefully that's something that you'll notice.
Yeah, when you get I will. And I'll give my thoughts once that comes about, on the podcast.
So TJ, I want to give you a chance to talk about this too before we get out of here. So you and Snaggle have been monitoring that ever-growing Perfect Team community. What are some similarities that you're seeing in the Perfect Team community with Diamond Dynasty in that language, and what are some differences? I'm curious because you've had what, 7-8 years of Diamond Dynasty sort of experience in that community, and this is all brand new. And it's been, I'm curious what you sort of compare and contrast the languages and the strategies and the tactics.
Yeah, I think a lot of the language and the strategy is very similar. Obviously, it's similar, but also completely different because, you know, in Diamond Dynasty, you can have this super team and not have six skills and still be trash. But here you also cannot have an amazing team. But if you know how to, you know, put those pieces in the right positions to succeed, just because you don't have the fastest thumbs in the world, you can go out there and have a great team. Like I said earlier, my team started 0-12 to start the season, which is extremely depressing. But I made a couple small changes, especially in my bullpen.
I noticed Trey Turner was stealing a lot, so I was like, Trey Turner's got 20 stolen bases. He's been caught once. You know what? Roll the dice. Let's have him take off more.
And you go to that individual player setting and say, hey, you individual guy, I'm going to adjust your stolen base, you know, my settings for you, which you can do at a team level and or an individual player level, right?
Yeah, I cranked up his player strategy so that he's a more frequent stealer of bases. Like, I also cranked up Billy Hamilton's, and Billy Hamilton now bunts more for hits. Actually, now that I actually looked at Billy Hamilton, his batting average, like, since I did that, his batting average has jumped like 120 points. I mean, it didn't help that he was absolutely trash at getting hits before, but now that he's bunting for base hits, I guess he's doing a lot better. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that want to play, you know, Ultimate Team or Diamond Dynasty, but they just don't have the stick skills, which, you know, that's going to hold people back. And Perfect Team really gives you the opportunity to use your more analytical side of your mind rather than just the move your thumb as quick as you can with the twitch reflexes to get that stuff kind of done. Also, AJ Minter is really good, so if you get him, get him. I think there was like two or three AJ Minters leading the league in saves in my league last I checked.
I've had so much fun watching the conversations. People saying, "Hey, you know, this and that, or lots of packs, or are you saving up for the golds, or like, hey, here's my lineup. What do you think?" It's been a lot of fun to see a lot of that organic conversation develop really quickly. It's almost like all of these. I know I sound like whatever, but it's almost like all of these people were waiting for this. And they just jumped right in, and it is completely like, this wasn't a slow build. This was pretty quick and pretty instant. And again, Chris, you and TJ have been sitting right on top of this thing. And that's been a pretty interesting experience, I got to imagine.
Yeah, the dedication level has been high, but I think it's because, and again, it's, you know, it comes from our perspective, like, we enjoy these types of modes in video games. And I think, you know, it's like TJ said, it's such a different, you know, it allows you, I always look at it, it's card collecting for, you know, big brain people, you know, like you can do so many more things behind the scenes that you can't do. You know, my stick skills aren't getting any better. that is for sure. But you know, this lets you go in and just be very analytical and try so many different you know, strategies and stuff. And like I said, I think I enjoy being invested in it because I love card collecting modes. And it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's kind of like how I said with Forza before, how, you know, it wasn't like oppressively telling me to get in there and play. Because like you said, Rich, you can, you know, go away for the weekend, you can come back, your team's going to have, it will have done something while you weren't there, you know. But if you don't play Diamond Dynasty, if you don't play Ultimate Team for a week or two, you're still at the same point you were back when you started. That being said, I'm literally in Out of the Park Baseball all day waiting to find out. It's like, oh, new the simulation ran, let me get the file, what happened.
Yeah.
Is there anything more deflating than you click that button to download now and see the latest, and you're waiting, and then loss? Oh, I hate that.
I just lost to the Sugar Hill Macho Men again. They walked it off in the bottom of the 12th.
And one of the really cool, innovative things, I feel like I can say this because it's out there. Eventually, at some point, we are going to have a mobile companion to we don't know what that's going to look like, but we are working towards having a mobile companion to manage your Perfect Team when you're not on the computer, which for someone like me who, you know, I can't play Out of the Park at work.
Right.
But I have my phone. I will be able to stay in touch that way. I think that's going to be, you know, a nice evolution. Again, like I said earlier, we have so many really cool things planned for this that even if half of them come to fruition, it's still going to be an amazing, amazing thing for people to enjoy.
All right. Let me mention one more thing. You know, see, here's the thing, Rich. I don't love talking about this because I feel weird about it doing it on Press Row. Like, I don't love gushing about, you know, something that we are technically paid to talk about. But so I've been having conversations on Twitter with Matt Piscatella from Give Me Those Letters.
We love Matt from NPD. He's NPD. The best. Did you see his thread from this past week just about everything going on in the video game sales world? It was spectacular.
Yes,
spectacular.
But have you seen my threads with him talking about some of these random like record breaker cards that we have?
Oh, I have. Team? I have. I definitely have.
So literally, as I just said, the Sugar Hill Macho Man just beat me. I was beaten by the person that won, or the winning pitcher of the game was Roy Face, the closer from the 1962 Pirates. Guess what, Rich? I got no good idea who the hell Roy Face is. But you know what I just learned? Little known fact, Roy the Baron Face, on his retirement, he ranked third in Major League history in pitching appearances behind only Hoyt Willem and Cy Young, and second in saves behind Hoyt Willem. Also, he was drafted twice by Branch Rickey, once with the Dodgers, and then again in Pittsburgh. And I feel like there's been so many guys that I'm like, who is this? What was that guy I was looking at? Like Sniffy Schoenweiss or something? I have no idea who this guy is. Went in, found out, I think he died on an NJ Transit train. Some other guy became like the baseball coach at a college in Vic Rasky, something like that.
Vic Rasky. Like,
Vic Rasky? How do you know that?
Because I'm a baseball fan and I'm old.
Yeah, I think it's more the second part because the dude was born in 1919. What was it? After he retired, I believe he opened a liquor store. And he became the Geneso State College baseball coach, which is now a SUNY college in New York. The baseball field was also named after him. That baseball field is now the softball field. But I just go down these Wikipedia rat holes of these guys that I'm like, is this even a real person?
Yep.
And it's kind of amazing some of the stuff you can learn, you know, because what is this? This dude lived in Hillsdale. I'm literally going to be in Hillsdale tomorrow. He and his wife Sally. But I was not born in 1953. Rich was
I was in my early 20s back then.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thank you guys very much. Brian, thank you for putting up with that part of the conversation, by the way. I appreciate it.
I'm all right. It's the holidays. It's the holidays, Rich.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
300 episodes. I could not be happier to have been a part of a lot of them. Brian obviously has been a huge part of continuing Press Row. You know, when we had a bit of a changeover when I first started working with Out of the Park Developments, was obviously a big part of it much earlier than that. But, you know, just on behalf of me, on behalf of everybody in the Press Row world, all of the different people who have been on the show, it's amazing how many people have been on the show. Video game, sports video game developers, sports video game writers, people like Matt Piscatella, right? People from the industry, all sorts of different folks, way too many to name. But you're all such great friends of the show. All of the listeners, over 4 million downloads of the Press Row podcast since the beginning, the 300 episodes. It's an astounding, astounding number. And, you know, all of our partners in the past, all of our partners now, I'm just so happy and proud to be a part of this show. TJ, thank you for being a great friend of the show and for being on tonight. Chris, again, the same. Thank you for being a great friend of the show and a great friend personally. Chris.
Thank you for correcting that.
We love that. Brian, thank you for being Pasta Padre, one of the most influential people in the sports video game world ever. And I'm serious about that. And I, as I said last time we talked, once we got you on the show, it like really legitimized what we were doing in a big way. So thank you for being such a big part of this for the past 300 episodes. And we're just going to keep on rolling. You can't shut me up. I'm just going to keep talking about sports video games. I love them. And I'm always going to love them. And I hope you do too. Because for all of the frustrations that they can cause us, there's a whole lot of fun that can be had. And there's a whole lot of ways to share that fun with your family and your friends. And there's a I owe so much of my life, so much of the success of my life to sports video games. It kind of sounds crazy to say it out loud, but I wouldn't be where I am right now if it weren't for sports video games. I wouldn't be able to call Brian, Chris, and TJ my friends if it weren't for sports video games. I wouldn't be, you know, working with Out of the Park Developments if it weren't for sports video games. I wouldn't be working with Brian, Chris, and TJ if it weren't for that. It's an amazing thing. I'm so happy to be part of this community. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And we will talk to you again real soon.